This is Life Matters with me, Richard Addy. You're on ABC Radio National. Now, is there a gifted and talented program at your school? It's a big deal, the encouragement of clever children. It's well-intentioned, and for the most part, it's a good thing. But it wasn't always so. Stella Ward, this week's Meet the Listener guest, was a child with a love of learning. Unfortunately, she wasn't in an environment that promoted it. Anything but. Stella joins us on the line now. Welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning, Richard.
When and where did you grow up?
I grew up in a working class suburb in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm. And when was this?
I was born in 1946, so very much a child of the 50s.
Right. And what was your family like?
Well, you know, you've had programs recently on the first one to go to university. Mm-hmm. I was the first one to go to high school, I think. My mother didn't go to high school at all. My father did a couple of years. There were no books in the house. I think their life revolved around football mainly.
Right.
So there was no culture of valuing knowledge or education. And my father in particular had this idea that education was wasted on a girl. And as soon as you turned 15, you worked for a few years and then got married. And you know, to be fair to him, that was the prevailing idea of the day. He wasn't unusual in that, so I certainly had to fight for my education.
So did you feel like different to your parents?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like this freaky, weird little smart kid. And yeah, the other really funny thing was, it's almost like I felt ashamed of being clever because they had this idea that I shouldn't know about it. That I shouldn't get a big head, and so it was almost hushed up and denied, and I was criticised a lot, so I didn't get too big for my boots. I'm just using some of the language
yes.
at that time.
Yes.
And so I felt different there, but I also felt different at school because there just really wasn't anybody else of my own age that I could relate to very well.
No other weird, freaky little smart kids?
Not that I can remember, not to high school.
Perhaps you were all hiding. I mean, if it occurs to me, if that's the environment you're in, you kind of are inclined to keep your head down a bit, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, and dumbed down, big time. Because, I mean, look, this wouldn't happen these days because things have changed enormously, but it just wasn't cool for a little girl to be smart in the 50s. You know, you're supposed to be demure and stupid and compliant and just decorative.
Right.
And so there was probably a lot of it going on, I suspect. And to fit in, I made all sorts of adjustments. I think the way I suffered most probably was socially, though, because I just felt that I was different and it was hard to make friends in my own age group.
Mm.
And I always felt very inferior, actually, and inadequate. And that stayed with me for most of my life. And I didn't have often a sense of what was appropriate social behaviour. You know, I can remember there was a show and tell once when I was in about probably grade 4 or 5, and I did have some encyclopedias my grandfather had bought me, and I'd read up about nuclear physics in them and atomic structure, and I was fascinated by it. And you know, silly me, I went and told the class in show and tell.
Yes.
Not realising that, you know, no one was interested or couldn't understand. The teacher thought I was absolutely off the planet, so she just shut me up and told me I was a silly girl and go and sit down. So that was kind of the sort of thing that happened through primary school.
Beautiful. Mm. So did you have, I mean, you mentioned your grandfather had encyclopedias. Did you have access to books at home?
No, there were two.
Two?
There was a Latin grammar and a book about an English public school cricket team. I remember that. So I taught myself Latin in primary school because that was all there was. As I say, this wouldn't happen today because of the fantastic public library system we've got and the internet. If I'd had the internet when I was young, I would have been in heaven. I would have been absolutely blissed out. But
yes.
There was just no access to knowledge, and I was like a thirsty sponge. And I didn't understand this at the time. I just felt just weird, you know.
Yes.
So when I went to high school, it was a little bit better because you kind of get the smart kids from a larger area. But even so, you know, this whole idea of a girl being good at maths and physics and things like that was really very strange, even for teachers.
Yeah. Now, we had a woman called Deborah Roof on Life Matters earlier this year. She was speaking about gifted children. And one of the things she was mentioning was isolation being a real problem and the importance also of having mentors. Now, did you feel isolated when you were at high school?
Oh, definitely. You know, that's why I was prompted to send you an email on your guest book when I heard that program, because it was quite exciting to me that someone had actually recognised the problems associated with being gifted. Let's be clear, the world hasn't missed out on an Einstein or a Mozart with me. I wasn't in that category, but, you know, I was good at tests and exams, and I could have made a very good doctor or academic or librarian or something like that.
But you were ducks of your school, weren't you? You were in Mensa in your 20s.
Yep. That was a big mistake, actually, going in Mensa, because I married very young. I had a teenage pregnancy at 17 because I was so confused about my life and where I was going. And I married someone from a European culture that was pretty chauvinistic, and he wanted to be in Mensa, and he was constantly putting me down and saying, I had four children, quite young, don't take any notice of your mother, she's stupid, and, you know, I got a bit sick of this, so I thought, well, if you're going to do the Mensa test, so am I. And big mistake, because I got in and he didn't, and he never forgave me for it. And but I didn't last long. I just found a club for smart people kind of wasn't what I was looking for, and they're all so self-consciously trying to outdo each other and being smart that I didn't waste too much time with it.
On Life Matters today, our guest, Meet the Listener guest this week is Stella Ward. We're talking about, well, really, I suppose a different time and place. When she was young, Stella, who was very clever, was not encouraged, and this has had a real impact on her then, and it's had an impact throughout your life, hasn't it, Stella?
Yes, I did manage to get a couple of degrees, but my BA took 25 years all up.
That must be a record.
Stages, because of the train wreck my personal life was, you know, trying to bring up four children on my own. And I've never been very good at selling myself, you know, even though I had the good exam results. I've lacked that confidence, I guess, because I've felt a bit of a misfit socially. So I've had a fair bit of bad luck as well, it's true to say. And I'm 63 now, and I would have hoped that my life would have worked out a little bit differently, that I would have had some impressive career, but unfortunately I've worked in a lot of low-paid, menial, boring jobs, and that's really difficult, you know. And people often don't like me, you know. They sense that I'm quick and efficient, and it shows them up a bit, and so...
Yes.
You know, it's... It hasn't been good. I don't think I've ever earned more than about $14 an hour in my whole life, actually. So it's.
Are you now though? Trying to change your luck, your life?
Well, I've always tried to make the best of a bad thing. I'm quite good at doing that, and I consider myself to be a very literate and well-informed person, but through my own efforts, pretty much. And the internet was a huge thing in my life. You know, I got it at home in 1995, you know, which is pretty much one of the first people who would have had the internet at home. And
I think it was still being powered by guinea pigs in those days, actually.
Well, there was still some DOS stuff hanging around in those days.
Yes.
But it was like, I mean, I've always loved libraries, you know. I currently belong to about five different libraries and do a circuit each week, and I've always got, you know, 50 books and magazines out.
They are a jewel in civic life, aren't they?
Oh, it's just amazing. I mean, I've got about 5,000 books of my own, because books have always been my best friend, but I've just found the internet has this added thing of connectivity with other people, and I've been able to find other little weird, freaky, smart kids.
Yes, we were just talking about finding your tribe at school, and you're finding your tribe now, so that's positive. Can I ask you, Stella, do you have any suggestions for parents in light of your own experience? I mean, and I know we're living in a very different time now, but, I mean, you must have thought about this.
Yes, I've thought about it a lot, actually. I particularly thought about how different my life could have been if I'd been born into a professional family or a family where there was a culture of education. And I think these days they do have programs for gifted children, but not in all schools. And it's not always that easy to identify a gifted child. Sometimes they're underperformers because they're bored, witless at school, as I was. And, you know, say, for example, punished for reading a book under the desk because I was bored with what was going on. So I think particularly with boys, they may not always be the ones that get the high marks because of the frustration of not being able to learn things. I think the main thing is this insatiable curiosity that one has. And these days, money isn't an issue with free public libraries and the internet. I mean, back in the 50s, you actually had to buy books, and it cost more money. So I guess there was some kind of a restriction on, you know, people that were for lower socioeconomic groups and actually providing that stimulation. But just keep feeding the child.
Keep feeding it, yeah.
Knowledge, information, but I think the mentoring's really important as well.
Yeah.
If I'd had somebody who was there to feed me appropriate material and to be able to discuss it with them. I mean, this has continued to another problem in later life in that finding a life partner is difficult because you need someone that you can talk to.
That's...
someone that, you know, shares your interests, and preferably someone that can actually bring something back to you that's interesting and stimulating. So,
Stella, it's been a cautionary tale, but I'm pleased that with the internet that things are looking up. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Stella Ward, who's Meet the Listener guest this week, and interesting to get that perspective.